Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prishkintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table in the studios of KHOI Community Radio. Downtown Ames, Iowa, right in the center of everything here. Downtown Ames, Iowa, in the old Pantorium Dry Cleaner Building, which is now a fabulous community radio studio. And we gather here to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. We get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donalana Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus.
So thank you to Marcus and all those fine folks out
there. Actually, we went out for dinner on the patio last week.
Oh, you did. Do tell.
Well, first of all, he has some great things to drink. I had an Irish cider on tap, which was delightful. He always has a running change out of different beers and things like that. And then the good old English food, of course, I had fish and chips. Hello. It was fun.
That's good. It's nice to have a pub here right in the middle of Iowa. And Marcus is a good pub. Is it patrician? Publican. I think publican.
Publican.
I believe that is the word.
You're right.
It is. Good. Oh, which reminds me that, well, you may run into crowds at places because this is the season for elections and primaries. And there's just why Iowa collects all of these hopeful people, I don't know. They're candidates up the kazoo, and they tend to show up in places like pubs and coffee shops and maybe pizza places. And all of a sudden, there's this crowd, and you wonder what's going on. Oh, my God.
Yep,
it's hard to keep track.
It's some famous politician.
Oh, it's so hard. Well, are we a little jaded? I think we ought to change this around. Other states should have to do this every now and then. We should change.
Oh, come on. It's fun.
Oh, all right. Oh, well.
The only time of year anyone talks about Iowa in the national press. You know, we got a whole season coming of this.
That's true. We'll keep you posted. Yes, we will. So, spring, although it's been a soggy spring this last week.
Boy, I'll say.
My God. In a hopeful sort of way, I planted a bunch of stuff out in the field.
Okay, but we're not allowed to complain because, knock wood, no tornadoes, no hail.
It's just here.
A little soggy.
Not here.
The skunk and the Squaw Creek have not jumped their banks significantly.
It could be a whole lot worse. So I'll just hope for good drainage out here.
Yep.
I wish everyone good drainage.
Good drainage to you, too.
Thank you. Well, I had a good thing happen at Farmer's Market this weekend. Farmer's Market, downtown Ames. It was a beautiful day.
Yep, it didn't rain.
It didn't rain. So you have to note that. When Farmer's Market didn't rain,
That was a good
day.
Yeah.
Good day. So this happens right, the Ames Downtown Farmers Market happens right on Main Street Saturday morning. And one of the local store proprietors down there sort of expanded her business out onto the sidewalk. Janae Smith, the proprietor of Thread It, and she calls herself an apparel architect. I suppose in a previous century she would have been called a seamstress, but she is an apparel architect. She has a great little shop down there. She fixes things. She tailors. She repairs. And she makes custom things. But outside of her little store, she pulled herself out in a little chair and a little table and put a Smith Corona typewriter.
A real typewriter.
And she was typing away. She was doing pop-up poetry. You could show up and talk to her for a little bit. She would take a few notes. She said, okay, go away. Come back in a little while. I will write you a poem. And she did. She did. Don't you love it when people can do something like that?
Creative entrepreneurial spirit, yes.
So here is a poem from Janae Smith. May 25th, 2019. The sun shines, days linger longer in the light, warm breeze. Crickets kissing me goodnight. A Lovely Springtime. Janae's Pocket Poems. Have a great day. That's what she says.
Lovely, lovely.
Isn't that nice? I'll share another one later in the program. It's so nice to have people doing that sort of thing. She's right down there on Main Street. You can find out more at Janae, J-A-N-E-A, at threaditames.com. There you go. Oh, also, since this is the end of May, the start of June, and where in the world did May go? I kind of pulled
up. We're practically to the solstice where the days start to get shorter yet.
Not yet. Okay, all right. Here we are. Here's a timely sort of thing for May, at the end of May. This is from the Pagan Book of Days, a guide to festivals, traditions, and sacred days of the year. It's nice to have these things in mind when you're stuck in traffic. People have been doing this thing all along. The Christian celebration of Pentecost, the supposed coming down of the Holy Spirit on people, Pentecost, is this time of year, and it's called Whit Sunday, actually, in the European tradition. And also, it is also the holy day of the Norse goddess Frigg, F-R-I-G-G, Queen of Heaven, consort of Odin. And this is also a traditional time. Besides celebrating the blessing of the apostles and all that sort of thing, it is the traditional Sunday this week, coming weekend, was also the traditional time for brewing the Whitsun ales and for making love in bowers and mazes. So put that on your
calendar. Assuming that it's not raining and cold.
That's good. And June 1st, there is a festival sacred to Karna, the Roman goddess of doors and locks. Who would have think? Doors and locks. She's protector of family life. So doors and windows should be repaired on this day. Kind of keep out those tempests that are coming.
Well, I was looking at the screen in my back door thinking, oh, that hole is big enough for mosquitoes to come in. So
it's
June 1st, I'll try to get that repair on the screen door.
Okay. Yes, it is. So this past week, Donna and I took a road trip.
We did. We did. On this show, we've been celebrating a number of young in the sense of, you know, under 50 local entrepreneurs. And we have a whole lovely collection of them from, you know, the Morning Bell Coffee Store to Mindy at Cook's Emporium, Littlewood's Tea. There's apparently a new pastry shop in town, which we will be talking about soon. Then we had Sharon at Lockwood Cafe, and then we've had Alluvial. So there is a whole crowd of like-minded individuals doing creative food enterprises in town, and we like to highlight them because it's a sign of some of the energies in our local community. Like if you read the national press, they're always moaning on about how life in the rural parts of the hinterlands is like in decline, and you know, oh, isn't that awful, and what are we going to do, and they don't have any broadband, and yeah, we got issues, folks, but we're working on our issues. There was, I think it was in the Times this weekend, somebody did some kind of sociological study on creativity and innovation in business between the urban areas, the hot spots, you know, New York, San Francisco, rah, 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 and the hinterlands. That's
and
us.
It came out, of course, there's more innovation in large cities, hello. But what was shocking to them is it wasn't that much more. We are doing just fine, thank you very much. And I'm sure that, you know, the retail things that we're reporting on and the lovely generation that's, you know, keeping our business community going, they all support each other as well. And they're very supportive of the downtown. What's that? Ames Downtown something or other.
Some Street Cultural District.
Main Street
Cultural District. There we go. So, you know, there's plenty of fun things going on. And then Lana and I took a trip over, not to just Ames. We went to Nevada. And on Main Street in Nevada, there's another businesswoman in that same cohort. And she sells Morning Bell coffee. And I think Morning Bell uses her pastries. And there's, you know, she's another member of the community. So we had a great trip over there. Where did we go, Lana?
Well, I've been hearing about this place called the Farm Grounds Coffee House, and I'm always up for a coffee house, so I toddled over there. But we realized that the Farm Grounds Coffee House, which is right on Main Street in Nevada, is just kind of like the tip of the iceberg. Oh, my goodness. You go in there, okay, nice. And we had I had a very fine cinnamon roll. I figure it is my duty to, like, taste a lot of cinnamon rolls here.
They were good.
They were good. It wasn't the kind with the gooey stuff on top.
It was a really cinnamon roll and plenty of it, Iowa style. And I had a scone. Fruit and nut scone, very good. And we had Morning Bell coffee.
Yeah, we sat down there blinking at ourselves.
This is really good coffee. Ah, whose coffee is this, right?
Oh, okay, so we're a little spoiled here. All right. So then we realized that the farm, well, there's Farm Grounds Coffee House, but then there's also Farmhouse Catering. Then there's also the gathering spot next door. There's Farmhouse Designs. There's also a bed and breakfast. So this farmhouse stuff, it's kind of turning into a really nice little empire.
Yes, she's got
over there.
Absolutely. Empire is the good word. Peterson is the creative dynamo behind all of this. So gatherings, I was quite charmed by that. It's an old department store space. So it's
right
quite
next door to the coffee house.
Right, quite large. And they have transformed it into an events room. She can hold up to 350 people, just FYI. But she also does much smaller gatherings, like, I think, chamber meetings and, you know. And she does the catering for it.
I was, you know, Donna, you're more up on what it takes to feed a crowd here. So realizing,
well, she's got some genius ways of doing it.
Oh,
she's
my
pretty
goodness,
good.
My goodness. Well, she's got kitchens. She's got staff. But it was really, really fun to talk to her. The gatherings place is right, like I said, right next to the Farm Grounds Coffee House. And you look in, and its tables are set up. They have a bar, they have a kitchen, and there's lights up there. And also, people can come in and decorate. And she has a decorator that works with her that actually is
right.
Done lovely
designs
things.
By Farmhouse.
Tracy Waltz is her name, designer, Farmhouse Designs. Now, see, here's a bunch of people working together. So, Donna and I are going to
The Gatherings website, and she has good websites, shows a lot of pictures. The event venue is, so they've opened it all up. So it's a big, big room, and it's got all mismatched chairs, and it's like, you know, shabby, country, chic, very nicely done. Very, you know, romantic. Obviously, lots of weddings there. But it's just looks like a big old, you know, hall where things can happen.
It does. And that's what communities need. A place for things.
A place to go,
to
especially
happen.
If it rains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we sat down at a table with Evie Peterson, and she told us a little bit about all her frogs in her pockets. Don often uses that phrase.
Yeah, a frog in every pocket. She has a frog in every pocket. She has five children to boot. Yeah, right.
So here we go.
My name's Evie Peterson, and I'm from Nevada.
Yeah. And you have multiple businesses, right?
I do. It started with a catering company out of my home. Just to make a little bucks,
yeah.
Like vacation money.
Uh-huh,
that was the intention, was just to...
Just because you were a good cook, right?
Because I had the experience and it was something I could do, and I always thought I would do it after my kids got older, and that was what I would do, you know? So that's how it started. And then I my husband was leaving me, so we did that.
Boy,
so,
your story is not too different from mine.
So then I needed it to make it a business, so I took it up a few notches and to make a living.
And that's when you started the, what do you call, prepared foods, or how do you?
So ours is a catering company specializing in weddings is really what I started out as, and that's what I did for the first 7 years, like. Those first few years, I did a lot for pharmaceutical reps during the week. I kind of hit that market and was doing
That's specialized market.
Those lunches. Yeah. So, but I got in on, I would do 4 or 5 of those a week. And that kind of just paid my bills. So to begin with, and then weddings during the wedding season. Mm-hmm. So
and you were doing this all out of your home kitchen.
So at first I was just for a second, and then I ended up going to the country club here in town. They needed a chef, they contracted with my company to run their restaurant and their events. And then they had a kitchen.
Yeah.
And so I started operating out of there. And when I started operating out of there, I really was able to take it up. You know, like if I had my own space.
And this is how many square feet is this?
This is a 5,000 square foot.
And it was a department store,
yes,
right on Main Street in Nevada.
It's been retail for 150 years.
Wow.
So it's always been retail. It used to be a men's and women's store. It used to be 2 stores. And a brother and a sister owned them at one point. It's a really cool story. And then somebody opened it up and made a kind of like a Sears, JCPenney's. Like mm-hmm. You could come and get your... So, yeah.
Talk to me about cinnamon rolls and scones.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
The
coffee's good. Wonderful. Do you do the baking?
I don't. Okay. I do the cinnamon rolls are one of our staples here Farmhouse Catering. So that's in our farmhouse breakfast and in a lot of our brunches and stuff. But and I learned that from being a cook at a camp and conference center for a lot of years. So I was that was a lot of the stuff I do comes over from there. I worked for a chef as a kid, and so a lot of my influence is from that. The scones are, we had an amazing Iowa State intern a couple years ago that had studied in France and was a great little baker. And so she kept baking for us for the last 3 years. And she's the one who does those scones. And she actually just left to go. She graduated and she's up in Northeast Iowa. So,
but you have her recipe.
But she's passed it on. I mean, and I have another gal that's worked for me for a lot of years that's picked it up and just right where she left off. And the cookies, the other gal and I have been making for 150 years,
oh,
it seems
good,
like.
So good.
So most of your prepared foods business, it's all pre-ordered, right?
So when we do the take and bakes, mm-hmm. that's really just a birth out of when we started the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. So the coffee shop's only been in existence for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And we were starting
Coffee shop, because we're on radio, we have to tell them, it's right next door to the event venue, which is, this is called Gatherings?
This is called Gatherings, and then it's called Farm Grounds.
Okay.
And the mother company is Farmhouse Catering. So, and that's kind of out the back door right now. But,
Is this your catering kitchen here?
Yes. That's one of them. Mm. So we just built another one over at our home. We have a giant shop, and the basement of that shop is now a huge kitchen with walk-in coolers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
okay,
it's
so
just
this
getting
venue
finished.
Can take up to how many people?
It holds 300.
Yeah. So that's pretty good sized.
Yeah. We like to keep our weddings at like 250, mm-hmm. we say, but that's what's, it's set up for 250 right now. I mean, it will be once we do the
rest of the tables.
Yeah, the rest of the tables.
And then who does all the design element?
I do a lot of the design. To begin with, I did a lot of the design. That's one of my hobbies.
So this is
me.
These are your visuals.
Yeah,
they're fabulous.
Yeah.
It's very country, comfortable. So. Looks like you shop at the Colo auction a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah.
And the curb, you know, wherever. But, I had this in my head before I started it, mm-hmm. and my husband and I bought this building, and he does contract stuff, and so he and I started tearing into it, and it was just a big mess, and people, through my catering company, I was still catering, mm-hmm. you know, but like through my catering company, we started advertising that we were opening up a venue, and people started coming, and I started booking before it was done, and it was a mess. But as soon as I
put a timeline on it,
so as soon as I started telling him like what I wanted to do, I had a plan. I wanted to expose the brick. I wanted mismatched chairs. Mm-hmm. I wanted, you know, dot 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 the look that I wanted. They went ahead and would book, and so that first year I had, you know.
So this is you too then, Designs by Farmhouse?
Yes. And so we do a little design company. One of my good friends, Tracy, she helps us out with that. And so she does consulting with people. She takes like what I like and then takes it up like five notches, you know, like she takes my style and the things that the direction I want to go. And then she just like adds so many details to it that, and so we just, the goal was to be a one-stop shop and mm-hmm. be able to offer everything for them. And like if they came and booked with us, they would be able to check off a lot of boxes on there.
Come, tell me about your menu for weddings. Like what's a typical or your most popular?
Our style is kind of a home style gourmet.
So do you plate or do you platter?
So we serve family style and we serve buffet for the most part.
Good idea.
Now next weekend we have a family style wedding, a plated wedding, and a buffet wedding all on the same day, you know, different places. So
what other venues?
So we still do our catering outside. So we'll do a catering at somebody's home and then one at a church and one here. Like next Saturday is kind of like, I don't know why everybody's getting married next Saturday.
Oh,
but
it's
don't try and get a hotel anywhere or anything. Right.
It must be June.
It's start of wedding season.
It's nutty. Yeah.
How many people work for you to do all these wonderful things?
So I have three full-time. And then I have some, during this time of year, I have about 15 to 20 part-time. And then a couple of almost full-timers over at the coffee shop that are baristas. But yeah,
fantastic.
It's about 25, I think, all together, 30 to just kind of pull it all off.
But you're a major employer in town, doesn't it?
I guess. No, not really. there's still Burke and all the people that employ hundreds.
Now, what about, are you able to source any of your food locally?
Yeah. Yeah, we do quite a bit locally. We try and get from Lee's Greens, mm-hmm. And Reinhardt Farms. We do over at in Boone. Mm-hmm. We have a nice relationship with them. And upon request, we'll do whatever. We'll mm-hmm. do locally. We also work with Iowa Choice Harvest to get some of those yummy things that they have that I can't get out. Like these little yummy sweet potato that I don't think I can get off my regular truck. I haven't even tried, but they're apples and stuff like that we get off of.
So what, give me an example of your most popular menu.
Our savory roast beef is probably our most popular. It seems to like satisfy everybody. Mm-hmm. It has a...
So what cutter are you using?
I'm using a flat bottom round when I do mm-hmm. that. And it's a nice...
So you just roast and slice and pass
on
platters?
I roast it once and I cook it and then I cool it. I save all the juices, make a nice gravy. I cut it when it's cooled, put it back in a pan, put gravy over it, cook it again.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. It's like a pot roast beef kind of feel. It's real comfortable.
And what kind of seasonings are you using?
I'm using salt, pepper, garlic, and herbs de Provence is one thing that I use a lot of. Yeah. My sister is in France, and so at the restaurant stores in France, you can get herbs de Provence for, I mean, the...
Are you girls from Nevada?
No, I grew up over north of Ogden at Hidden Acres Christian Center.
Okay.
The camp and conference center there. So that's where I grew up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so was from there. Have lived here, though, for... 12 years, I think. So all my kids have gone to school.
You're very
here.
Iowa person. Then,
I'm very
right?
Iowa.
Yeah, good.
100%.
Right. So then you know what we need here.
I know that's, what that's you like. I know what thing. People
right.
like.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And so, you know, all of our vegetables we get fresh. We get them fresh in, and
you know, cut them, and we don't do any pre-done things.
Do you
so
do the
people
wedding
really
cakes
that.
Also?
No, we don't do wedding cakes. That's the one thing you can bring in here. You can bring, I mean, we'll do a dessert, or if you want something, I'll do pie all day long, but man, we don't mess with it.
It's but nice you have limits.
Yeah. I do. I know where my limits are. That stresses me out. Even when I have, I mean, I can do a whole meal for 300 people in my sleep, but if you add cupcakes to that,
yeah,
that throws me over the edge. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle
that. I can cook anything, but I can do desserts like you, but I am not a baker.
You know, our baker, she also made all of our bars, you know, and so we were trying to figure out, oh, do we want to have someone else in-house do it, or should we contract it out to another at some point?
Well, like every intelligent business person, you have to do what you do best and limit it to that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and not try and do every single thing. No. And be okay with, you know, like we buy those pastries and we buy those frozen and we cook them and they're lovely. I'm like, I'm okay supplementing some of our homemade stuff with that because the quality is good and people still
like it. And especially if you're using other, like if she starts to do cakes for you, for example, that's you supporting another woman owned business.
I would love to just support another. That's what we said. I just would love to support another. I don't want to do it all. There was a time when I thought I needed to do it all.
Well, but now you're just a little bit older and more
sensible. A little bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can people find you?
They can find us online. We are the first thing that pops up if you put in Farmhouse Catering.
Okay. So that has like your menus, your prices.
We have our website. Uh-huh. Yeah. We have about, I think there's three or four different pages within that you can go to.
I have to
You'll
read
find
your,
us on Facebook.
So her t-shirt says, I live in a madhouse ruled by a tiny army that I made myself.
I have 5 children.
Oh!
And my oldest is 17 and my youngest is 10 months.
And you're doing all of this.
So but my husband, I drag them all to work. All my teenagers say you're doing dishes this weekend, whether you like it or not.
That's right.
So,
building character.
It does. Yeah. It's good for them. So.
Well, I had to run the cash register and sweep the floors at my parents' store. And if you grow up working, you just keep working.
It's fine.
That's
what I wanted to be for them. So.
So that is Farmhouse Catering. And this venue is called Gatherings.
Yep.
And is it all on Farmhouse Catering? So it's kind of all linked?
It's all linked together. Mm-hmm. So you'll find if you, farmhousecatering.com will take you to gatheringsnevada.com. Everything's kind of ends in gatheringsnevada.com. So.
Okay, Evie.
Yes.
We are delighted to meet
That's
you.
That's great. You too.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lena Kitchen. We had a fine trip to Nevada, Iowa, and we visited with Evie Peterson, an amazing woman over there. How does one get all that done? I don't know, Donna.
Well, there is an age where what you do, you know. Mm-hmm. And good for her. She's got all of her energies channeled quite beautifully, quite productively.
And there's always people. You were talking about urban-rural possibilities there. In fact, the rural people are just kind of losing it. No, we're not. We gather, we celebrate, people get married. People need a nice place to get married and a nice roast beef dinner to pass around.
How big do you think what's the population of Nevada? For those of our listeners who do not live in central Iowa, Nevada is only, maybe 10 miles from Ames? It's very close.
Well, it is the county seat, after all.
I mean,
Ames is the college town. We're way over here on the west. It's about 7,000 people.
7,000 people in Nevada.
It is. But a lot of people, actually, it is used for a lot of things because there's the courthouse there, and people go there eventually. But people know how to find a good time. People know how to find a good restaurant.
Evie did say her business doesn't just draw from Nevada. No. You know, people are coming from Des Moines, which is maybe 45 minutes away from Nevada, and Ankeny and Ames and, you know, central Iowa.
There it is. So as long as people need to gather, there's going to be a need for the farm grounds, gatherings, and the farmhouse. And, oh, my goodness, it's kind of your one-stop shop party over there. It's
right.
Very good.
Because community events or family events, we all like a good party now and then.
We do.
Time to celebrate something
and
or other.
And I want to mention again, cinnamon rolls. Cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
They do a fine job. That at the farm grounds kitchen there, farm grounds coffee shop. So the wedding season, well, I don't know. People get married all the time, but June we often think of weddings. So I suppose she's going to be quite busy. So that's farmhouse at GatheringsNevada.com. That was a fun thing to go to see.
Yeah, in fact, we were driving over there on the morning after we had 3 inches of rain. So it was, you know, we were looking at all the rather large puddles in the farming fields.
Yeah, it didn't look all that promising. And we actually had to take a little detour there, but we made it. So glad to it. All right. This is KHOI. This is the Donalana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. So we talked about some good stuff happening in Nevada, Iowa. And Donna's got a few little news items here. Every now and then we like to kind of look and see what's happening in the food farming and environment sort of things. And there's with all of the rather severe weather that luckily has missed us pretty much, except for way too much rain, there's a whole lot to talk about if you're a farmer.
Well, the Ames Tribune had another editorial this week from Art Cullen, who is our Iowa Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. And so his headline was "Farms Are Suffering from Climate Change and the China Trade War." So I'm just going to read you a little bit from him because he's such a good writer. So he starts out with a quote from John Norris, who's the former chief of staff to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack in the Obama administration. Now, we all know Mr. Vilsack around here because he was our governor as well. He's another Iowa man, knows a bit about farming. So the quote from John Norris is, "We've got all of our eggs in one basket. This is a wake-up call to change agriculture. We are subsidizing cheap grain and cheap pork for China, and we keep farmers just afloat. The only ones benefiting are the traders, the seed and chemical companies, and the Chinese." Further, he goes on to say, this is more Art Cullen, so he says, yes, farmers always farm to the farm program to chase the money. This is also John Norris. "So let's farm different programs, one that actually benefits the land. When you add carbon to the soil, you improve yields. Farmers can make more money by building the soil through crop rotations and grazing." And Art Cullen concludes, "The United States is at an inflection point brought on by trade war and climate change. We should seek free trade through patience and steady diplomacy, but we shouldn't bet the farm on agricultural exports. A better goal, establishing a network of diverse, resilient producers who provide global food security while reducing climate impacts. We are doing the opposite." So there was the announcement, I think it was this week anyway, fairly recently, of a Second bailout coming from the current administration for farmers. But I want you to know, it seems like that's a good idea. And, of course, the farmers need the money. It's quite desperate. Prices are down. There's lots of flooding and erosion. It's just a royal mess. So here's something from the Des Moines Register. They reported last year the average payout to farmers was only $7,236. That sounds like a lot, but that's a tiny fraction of what most farmers lost due to the tariffs. For corn farmers in Iowa, payments were tallied at 1 cent per bushel, but the decline in corn prices was 58 cents per bushel. These payments were little more than token gestures, and in fact, hundreds of farmers got checks that were barely enough to cover a single lunch. So the headlines look like, yeah, the government's doing something for us, and it's, you know, we'll take the money, thank you very much, but it's not solving the problem. This is a, you know, 60 or 70 years of farm policy and planting commodity crops row to row, and, you know, it's not working. So there are some people making suggestions of how we can do changes, incremental changes. We'll see what's going on.
As consumers, as people who eat what farmers grow, I think we should be concerned that farmers are actually growing things that are useful and we can eat, and also that's good, that are good for the environment. There are better ways to farm.
I mean, we all eat corn and pork here in Iowa, but the truth is, the largest pork producer in the whole country is now owned by the Chinese government, basically. So, as people are saying, the environmental difficulties like water, clean water, and things like that that we are experiencing in Iowa, we're paying for this civically to produce things for not ourselves. It's going elsewhere, and we're suffering from the consequences of it. We got to rethink this a little bit.
I think so.
It's coming.
And on a completely different note, well, actually not in a different note, if you're considering, you know, politics and things, and orange things, huh? Orange. Well, anyway, here, I ran across a really interesting article here that I thought you might want to know. Cheese Whiz, the history of Cheese Whiz. This is from a book called The American Plate, A Culinary History in 100 Bites by Libby H. O'Connell.
Well, it's certainly Cheese Whiz is a...
And don't say you haven't eaten some in your lifetime.
Oh, many times. Oh. Even now, you know, if I pick up one of those little plastic tubs of, I don't know, what, a Cracker Barrel cheddar. You know, it's like it's cheese, but it's soft and spreadable. And it's delicious.
Of course.
We grew up eating
it,
that stuff.
It hits all the right buttons
in our
taste.
Yeah, the one with the horseradish swirled into it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you believe there was a time where we didn't have Cheese Whiz? We had to make do without. So, food scientists at Kraft Foods invented Cheese Whiz in 1952.
Huh? Yep, that's just about right for Lana and I to grow up eating Cheese Whiz.
Oh, dear. It represents engineered food at its, well, most popular, it's not, or if not, its very best. Edward Traisman, the son of a Latvian immigrant in Chicago, led the team that developed the thick annatto-dyed sauce used on cheesesteaks, hot dogs, and nachos. Huh? So, guy from Chicago. The original Cheese Whiz was processed cheese with a list of additives. But today, even the cheese has gone, at least according to the label.
Whoa. Huh?
Cheese Whiz, this is what it says. Cheese Whiz is a unique tangy flavor with a zing, Kraft Food tells us. But indeed, there is no cheese in that still popular wide mouth jar, so Kraft has to spell the name of the food product with a Z. Cheese is C-H-E-E-Z. It is not cheese. It is Cheese Whiz. And where else but America? Boy, are we lucky or what? There we have it.
Well, you can make your own and put real cheese in it, you know.
Yeah.
You basically take some sort of like bechamel sauce. Mm-hmm. You make a cheese sauce. And you make it really thick, So that would be flour, butter, and then milk to make the bechamel, the white mm-hmm. sauce, and then you just melt a lot of cheese in it, and you could have your real own homemade, healthy, delicious, wonderful cheese sauce.
Cheese whiz with an S-E on the end.
Yes.
As opposed to, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. So, oh, another thing about farmer's market. Kevin Dietzel with, what's his
name? Lost Lake Farm.
Lost Lake Farm. So there we have our local cheesemaker.
Yes, we
boy,
do.
Boy, has he upped his ante this year. He's been, you know, kind of, you got to start this cheesemaking stuff kind of
yes,
trial and error.
Every year he adds new products.
Oh, and I picked up, well, I got some Emmentaler, which is kind of a Swiss sort of taste, but that's my
one. It's a hard cheese.
But
not
he has
terribly
lots of
hard, but a little bit.
And
yeah.
What he's doing now, feta. Feta.
Oh, wow.
And this, I picked up this stuff, and I had it last night on a salad. And it's not the heavy, salty stuff. I mean, it is in a brine,
mm-hmm.
but boy, it tastes like creamy, wonderful white cheese.
Oh, a fresh feta. Well, I mean, we have to say the reason his cheeses are so, the reason for the cheesing is he has his own cows. They're all on pasture. So he feeds the cows, milks the cows, and makes the cheese all in one place. And it is really, he has a new blue-ish sort of cheese, too.
Oh, I sampled that, too.
Very yummy. Very, very yummy. And then his usual Camembert style and mm-hmm. his burnt oak, which is still my favorite, which is soft rind cheese. He's doing a lot of delicious things.
Ooh. So.
Feta, yes.
So we have the sublime to the ridiculous. We had some cheese whiz information, but there's also good cheese.
Well, and
out
Kevin
there.
And his wife Renee are that's another example of that generation doing very creative farming and food businesses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Marketing to different people yes. and learning to make cheeses that people like so he can actually make money on them. He started out making mozzarella. Okay?
Because that's the fast and easy.
Yeah, fast
thing.
And easy. Okay? And people liked it, but you just don't make, I'm not a cheese expert, but evidently the cost benefit was not there. So you have to have the courage to say goodbye to something and try new things. And
right, he's making more complicated cheeses, which have, you know, probably a little bit more profit potential. But he has the skill set to do that. I mean, even I can make a mozzarella cheese. Kevin is a really good and he's a really good cheesemaker, and he's just growing in his proficiency all the time. It is a delight to see him do this.
Great. Yes, as we
and
say.
And to eat the
cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we all like to say, blessed are the cheesemakers. Yes, we are. This is the KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We gather here once a week, and you can find out more about us at khoifm.org. There's archives, there's streaming, there's lots of information about all the other great shows on this great radio station. If you would like to contact us, you can Gmail us at khoiradio@gmail.com. And thanks to Charlotte, a person that contacted us via Gmail, for her kind words and her wisdom.
Yeah, we had a fan letter. Thank you, Charlotte.
That was very, very nice. We'd love to hear from you. was a little bit of music from some people that play contra dances up in Portland, Oregon. Music from the Northwest. Music to tap your toes to. Those two little pieces were called Miss Gavin's Hornpipe and Jackie Tar. Okay. Oh, although it's soggy in the garden, Donna. Radishes.
You know, they are most welcome this time of year. It's just they always have a nice little burst of flavor, and there are lots of things you can do with them.
Yes. I found out that you don't even have to eat them raw. You can actually stir-fry them if you want to.
You can make a whole pan full of them roasted.
Oh, actually, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it is a vegetable. And then there's the French way of doing it, which you clean the radish, but you leave like a quarter inch of the green stem on it, so it has a little handle. And then you serve it at the table with salt and butter. So it's like a first course. You just put a little butter on the radish and sprinkle a little salt on and chow down.
I tried that. It tasted very good. Although I had a hard time getting a little smear of butter to stick to a wet radish. Maybe I have to dry my radish first. I don't know.
Well, of course. Of course.
Well, actually,
but after you take the first bite, then you have a surface to put more
butter
on.
Oh, that's true. Yes. That's true. That's good. Oh, my favorite this time of year, and this may be silly, but I like it anyway. I like radish almond butter sandwich.
Radish almond butter on bread,
On bread. And actually kind of, you know, not a hard,
crusty
bread. Do
you salt that too? Probably a little.
We can salt it
if
the almond butter isn't too salty, or you might want to add a
little. Oh, so like nice mushy sandwich.
Yeah, a mushy sandwich. Yeah. This is like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but the radishes are really good. And
lots of radishes.
Lots of radishes.
Yeah, right.
Crunch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that does sound good, actually. Yeah. See, get creative with your radishes, and they're coming in colors and shapes and sizes, and they're always the first thing out of the garden.
A welcome treat, radishes. Here's another little bit of food wisdom or food history, culinary history, from The American Plate by Libby H. O'Connell. She goes through and has 100 different items that she talks about. American food. The Cracker Jack. Cracker Jacks. Yes, they had to get invented too, okay?
And it's just popcorn.
It's just popcorn. But that then, the very first, we might call it junk food, the very first snack food that was made just for snacking.
Right, and to get people to eat it, they had to put a prize in the box.
Well, not quite, but yeah. People always like to eat things,
is that still
available?
But probably not.
Yeah. But they all, but apples and nuts and people always were chewing on things. But here, in 1871, this also in Chicago, just like cheese was, 1871, the year after the Great Fire, F.W. Ruckheim was a candy maker. And he and his brother got together and experimented with popcorn, peanuts, and molasses and figured out how to make it without making it stick together. And it was a great hit at the Chicago Columbian Exposition of 1893. Ah, there it was. And in those days, Cracker Jack was a popular slang term for something outstanding and fun. So they glommed on.
Yeah, they'd say, that fellow's a real Cracker Jack, ain't he?
That's how it worked.
Yeah.
That's how it worked. So they started advertising, and it was a big hit. But there was a major problem in warm weather. When ship Cracker Jack became all stuck together in one big wad. And so a friend of theirs named Henry Eckstein had an idea based on an innovation he'd seen in Germany of using individual bags wrapped in a double layer of wax paper inside single serving size boxes. So Henry Eckstein packaged this stuff. It worked. They could actually.
Right. It was a little box about, I don't know, what do you think, 6 or 7 inches by 1 inch by 4 inch. I don't know. Enough that you could easily, kid could hold it in his hand, and they were well sealed.
Right. And this,
to keep the moisture out.
It was a big hit. And in 1910, they started putting little prizes on the inside. They weren't the first. Quaker Oats Company had prizes in some of its hot cereal. But
Sometimes a little plastic ring.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the prizes were.
I'll have to go get a box and see if they still do that. Oh, anyway, it took off. By 1947, annual sales reached 100 million packages. They did good. They did good. I'd like to end the show here with another poem by Janae Smith, our apparel architect on Main Street.
That's right.
Who was doing some pop-up poems last Saturday. And I walked up to her and said, "So, do one for the Donalana kitchen."
Oh,
and
goody.
Here's what she
a
came up with.
A custom poem just for us. Here we go. So this is for all of us and our listeners.
And our listeners. And so this was typed out on a Smith Corona there right on Main Street. To Donna and Lana, May 25th, 2019. On the radio, rings laughter. From chit-chats of food wafts through the clatter. Farming sings through the air, advice the most noble felt everywhere. Janae's Pocket Poems. There you go.
Oh.
So thank you, Janae. You sort of made our day there. That was real fine. So fine. There's some
community activities coming up.
Well,
here we go.
A few things.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Not this coming weekend, but the next. Art Walk in downtown Ames. There will be all kinds of things going
Friday,
on.
Friday, June 7th, is that correct?
Friday, June 7th, Art Walk. Come on down and stroll. We should do it. Stroll down Main Street and nibble on goodies and see artists featured in different stores. Yeah. And looking way, way, way ahead, there's the 4th of July parade, of course. Don't miss that. And at Whitsfield Co-op, they have this little deck. A little deck you can go out and have your cup of coffee and your
morning bell coffee.
Good. Coffee, yeah. Yeah, from the food co-op there and sit there. And they also have, that is also the location for the Tiny Deck Concerts. That happens in the summer. And coming up, these happen Fridays from 6 to 7:30. What a nice time. There's a few trains that go by, but never mind. You just kind of chat among yourselves then. And then, so here, coming up on June 7th, Sugar and the Vincents. The next week, Britches and Hoes. Ah, ukuleles. July 5th, John Marco. July 26th, Lionessa. August 9th, The Doomed Pioneers. August 23rd, Ben Schrag and the Cautionaries. And September 13th, Chris Myers. So, the Tiny Deck Concerts at our local food co-op. A good way to spend summer.
The summer season is beginning. Here we go.
It is. This is. Looking ahead on the Donalana Kitchen, I think we're going to kind of look into weddings and pastries and cakes and things that might be coming up there. And mushrooms. We have some questions about mushrooms that we're going to look at.
Yeah.
And Don,
of course, we'll be doing some ice cream, gelato, and sorbet shows, usual.
Yeah.
We got to do that in the summertime.
Of course. Donna's here. We got to do that sort of thing. And we've got some more farm news and farm policy things that just, we'll put it in between all that sweet stuff so you won't even know you're hearing it. It's important stuff to know. There you go. You're listening to the Donalana Kitchen. Thanks for joining us today. And thanks to Evie Peterson from the Farmhouse and Gatherings, catering and food and coffee
frog
houses
in every pocket.
Okay. Evie Peterson, Nevada, Iowa. She talked to us today. This is the Donalana Kitchen. You can find us right here on KHOI Community Radio, and we get by with your support. This is community supported radio. You can find us here 89.1 FM every Tuesdays at noon. Repeated Tuesday, 7 p.m. If you can't get enough of us, you can stream us, download us. You can find our archives and go to the email and send us a note. We welcome your comments and suggestions, khoiradio@gmail.com. Support Community Radio. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
Excellent engineering by Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.